Welcome everyone to our second episode of the Extra Stitch. Today, we're gonna dive into Ginta's childhood and how Ginta ended up in New York and how she got into modeling industry and, you know, became really, really famous. So, yeah, Ginta, tell us a little bit about yourself.
About myself? Well, I was born in Latvia, a small city called Aizkraukle. I know it's very hard even to pronounce it.
And I can't even say that.
I know. It's a small city, basically hour and a half away from Riga. And my childhood was pretty good, you know, simple childhood, middle class family, lots of summers I spent at my grandma's house. And she was living so close to us, but she had a house. So like summers I was doing all the work around the house. She had fields.
So grandma kind of helped your mom raise you?
Yes. Okay. So after, you know, when summer started, she would drive us to grandma's house and she's like, okay, have
just
fun.
Just drop you off for 3 months. Everyone did that in that part
exactly.
of the world.
I feel like that's how a lot of kids grew up.
There was no nannies, right, Ginta?
No nannies.
Yep.
Just no
grandma.
Nannies. You know what was great? It's like family would always help you out. So
right.
I think that was the beauty of it because everyone always would be around to help, like aunts, uncles, whatever. And so that was my childhood pretty much. And then around age 5, my dad passed away, which is unfortunate. Yeah, and it kind of turned our lives upside down. And my mom was left alone with 2 kids, me and my brother, who's 5 years younger. So he was a newborn.
Oh, no.
And it was very, very tough times. It's actually my earliest memories. I remember starting around that time. I feel like I just kind of erased a lot of memory before that, which is very interesting.
And you kind of didn't have any feelings yet, right? When your dad passed, you didn't understand, right?
It hit me hard. Mm. I remember that day when they told me he died in a motorcycle accident. Four. And it was very, very rough because it just came as a shock, you know? It was, you know, and then my mom just survival mood was on, like she had to figure out how to provide for the family. So I kind of became her like right hand man, and I was helping out a lot with my younger brother.
And you were 5 at that?
And I was 5 at that time.
Wow.
When that happened. Yes.
Wow.
But then a couple years later, our stepdad came in our world, and he's amazing. They're still together, and you know, he's such a nice person. And
so he was a blessing to your family.
He was a blessing to our family for sure, and he loves my mom so much. Like he even to this day, I think 17th they met. I don't know which month, but every month on 17th he gives her flowers, or even one flower, like whatever. But every month, yes, it's so so sweet, like very romantic guy. So I'm very happy for my mom.
Yeah,
you know?
Having 2 little kids and meeting someone and like a man actually taking on 2 little kids, it means they really love a woman. Because that's like, that's a lot.
Don't cry, Marie.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm so emotional. I think like after I became a mom, something happened to me.
Oh, I know.
Just, like,
I know,
I
I'm just going to cry because I saw you crying. It's tough, you know, like you have similar, you know, not similar, a little bit different story, but you know how it is
right.
too, you know, when you don't have one parent, and it's very tough on family, on mom. And then you see your mom as this strong woman, right? Because you see her raise up from like such hard, difficult times.
Right.
And yeah, so, you know, my mom started going in university, finding job. And like, so she was busy with her own stuff. And I was just, you know, in school, and when I was 15, I was like, you know what? I loved art. I loved design. And I was like, I'm going to become interior designer, and I have to change school, so I can't stay in my town. I got to go to Riga. And I applied for this very good design school. So it's like high school with already like with a way of paving to become interior designer,
which interior is interior like, designer. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And so my subject was glass design. So I can make stained glass, you know, and
that's amazing.
I know, it's pretty crazy. A lot of people don't notice.
You can make all the vases and stuff for your
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah, it's cool. It's actually a lot of fun. It's a hard work because you need like strong hands for that, right. You know?
But it's kind of therapeutic, right?
Very, right. Very. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff. So I really wanted to get in this design school, and I started going every weekend to Riga to do classes, because you have to do exam to get in there. It's not that easy to get in. And so on weekends, I would take a train, go to Riga, and do this for some time. Until one day, it was spring, this guy came up to me on the street.
Creepy.
And he was creepy, yes. Yeah, because he was a little bit older than me. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how much older than me he is, but not too old, too, you know, that would be like maybe even more creepy,
yeah.
But kind of close to age, but I was like, for sure, he's like older. And, you know, I was 15 at that time, and he came up to me and he's like, hi, I just wanted to ask you, are you a model? And I said, no, I'm not a model. He's like, would you want to try? I'm like, no, I don't want to try. Like, my goal is my school. Right. I'm not modeling. Right. And, you know, keep in mind, I was like, what, 16, 17 years ago?
Yeah, that wasn't like that popular, that like the whole model inflate, like there was nothing like
no.
that.
No, it's barely like, internet.
Right, and you feel like knowing like all our like friends kind of stories, you always feel like all the famous models like never actually wanted to be a model. Like I never wanted to be a model. You mm-hmm. seems like you never wanted to be a model.
No.
Like,
I had no idea what that means.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
Because it's not something like now, it's you have internet, phone, you see,
right,
all like you kind of have idea about it.
Right.
But when you don't have access to, you don't have phone, maybe I had some kind of phone at that time, but yeah. not like with internet or anything like that.
We had Nokia. Right?
Yes. Right? With the snake game.
Right. You know? Oh my God, it was fun.
Oh my God. That was it. That was why you need internet. You
that
just
was
play the snake.
That was the time.
So yes.
Yeah. Very therapeutic.
Yeah, totally. And so I was very skeptical. I was like, what does this guy want from me? So he was like, you know what? Listen, just can I have your mom's number? And I'll just talk to her. And I was like, you know what? It's a good idea, actually. Because
right.
I was like, my mom will never agree to anything like mm-hmm. this. And I'm like, it's perfect because I have to get on my train and go home. And so I gave him my mom's number. And by the time I got home, my mom was like, well, listen, I just spoke to this guy and he really believes that maybe you have a potential to become a model. And I'm like, yeah. And so what do you think about that? And she's like, you know what? I think you should try. He proposed to do a test shoot. Why won't we go to Riga? You do test shoot.
Okay.
And just see where it goes, you know.
Oh my God, how annoying was the test shoots?
Oh, we had to do so many of them. Oh my
God. So awkward.
The so little awkward.
Baby yeah, I know.
I remember he gave me this like Japanese hat that I had to like wear for the shoot. I was wearing like a striped shirt and I was like, what am I doing here? Just like, he's like, just jump and smile and then like be serious. And I was like, you know what? This is, but I actually kind of enjoyed that moment.
You did?
Yeah. Because I was like, it's very different. Like, I'm not used to
it. It was surreal, right?
Yeah.
I know.
And so we did that, and he sent the pictures to two agencies in New York.
Okay.
And both were interested, and they actually came to Latvia to see me.
Wow.
Probably not just because of me. I'm sure right. they did like a scouting trip.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very Eastern European focused modeling,
yes.
like girl look at that you know time.
Yeah.
It was early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
No, you were like late 2000s, right?
No, I mean, okay. I think I was 2005.
Oh no, early 2000s. Yeah. Oh, so we came the same time. Okay.
Yeah, the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And so the both agents came from both agencies, and I kind of chose the smallest one because I was super intimidated.
Which one?
Called MC Square.
Huh.
Used to be Karen Models.
Huh.
And then
okay,
they changed to MC
Karen.
Square.
Okay.
Yes. So. Yeah, I just chose smaller one, I think because I was very shy and I didn't know, you know, what this whole thing is about. I'd rather go with smaller agency and like see how it goes because the other one was much bigger called
yeah.
Woman Model Management.
A woman is big.
Yeah, and so I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that, right. You know? So my birthday is in summer. I turned 16, and my first trip ever was to New York.
Outside of Latvia?
Yes. It's like my first time on a plane, too.
Right. Being 16,
mm-hmm.
You came to New York.
I came to New York. And I was scared to leave model apartment, because that's where they put me right in.
Right.
And I was like, I can't go on the street.
Have you speak any English by then, or...?
I did, but you know how it is. Yeah, like, yeah, I studied in school, but it's like once you with Americans, you're like, oh, my English is horrible. I better don't speak. Mm-hmm. So I was really shy with talking.
Yeah.
Like, it was really funny. And then, so I worked remotely. So because I was still I got in school in Latvia. And so I really wanted to finish my school. And then modeling started, like, I was doing kind of okay, nothing great. Like, mm-hmm. We talked about your experience about catalogs in New York. Yeah. That was kind of for me, too, start doing a bunch of catalogs. And
maybe that's what they did, every agency, because they wanted us to be financially independent to see if, you know, we can survive.
And I feel like it gains experience as well, because catalogs would, especially back then, used to be a lot of catalog shoots. So we would just like constantly shoot. I remember every week I was shooting Bloomingdale's, you know? And it was great because...
Great, I loved it. I was like, another catalog, ching, ching.
Yeah, ching, ching. But you know, for me, it took a while to start making my first money.
Wow.
Because I was always constantly in debt. And because...
With the agency, they kind of keep you, yeah.
Yeah, and because of my school in Latvia, I constantly was flying back and forth.
So you had to spend money on tickets?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So that was really... Yeah, so I had a very big, big haul to fill up.
Yeah.
So it took me definitely a couple of years. And then by the time I was 18, I was like, you know what? I kind of feel like I want to do this full time.
Okay.
And I was like, New York is my city. I loved it right away. It's just such a great vibe. People are so friendly compared to being back home, you know, when everyone's cold and still at that time. I was still born in USSR, like you know, so it's...
Do you remember, like, sorry to interrupt, but going back, like, first or second time going back home after being in New York, I remember going to grocery store, and I'm like, здравствуйте, как дела? Like...
Yeah, being polite.
Like, hello, right? Like, how are you? Smiling. And they look at you like, are you okay? You need help? You want me to call the hospital? You know?
Or like, what do you want from me? Yeah. Like, why are you talking to me so nicely?
Like, it was like such a shock, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to go back from, you know, you get used to New York and, like, you know, people always ask you, like, how are you? Blah, blah. Going back to, you know, our conscious is, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry
definitely.
To interrupt, but, like,
no,
I remember that
true.
Memory, like,
mm-hmm.
So you decided to...
And I just really like the openness, and I feel like because, you know, I love my country, I love Latvia and everything about it, and it has changed so much over the years, of course, but New York had that, like, drive, and I was so young, and I was like, you know what, this is my freedom, I can be on my own, I can be... I loved modeling, and I was like, I want to explore this more, and if I'm here, I want to become successful. I want to be really good at this.
You want to put your time into it.
Yeah, if my mom let me go this far, I'm like, I'm going to do my best, and as long as I can do it, I will be here and, you know, try everything I can. And so I quit my school when I was 18 because I was like, okay, I want to save money and then come back to Riga, pay for my own place, buy a computer, and then finish my school. So that was my small, like, beginning goal.
And we know it never like that. It's like New York or nothing or nowhere, right? New York or nowhere.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then I started spending more time in New York. And when I finally made the money for my first computer, I was like, you know what? I got to stay here more and see how much more I can make. I'm not going to stop with the computer, you know? And the beauty of my school in Latvia was that they told me I can always come back and, like, finish whenever I'm ready
for
it. So that was really good, yeah. Which I never did. I never finished that school. But when I was 25, I finished high school. You know, I did, like, the, like, online school. And then eventually went for exams in Latvia. It was pretty funny.
At 25?
Yeah.
I never studied in school, like, after 8th grade or something.
That's crazy. It's pretty amazing, Marina. Your success story is incredible. I finished school because, you know, I was always back in my head. I was like, I have to finish, like, no matter what. It's not like it has any meaning, right. You know, but so I did. And so in New York, you know, it was right away my favorite city. And in between, because I was still in school in Latvia at that time from 16 to 18, I would travel to like Paris, to London, to Tokyo.
Doing fashion weeks, doing whatever.
Not yet fashion weeks.
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet, yeah. So fashion weeks, I started around 18.
Okay.
So I get to spend some time in Japan. I didn't work well in Japan at all.
You didn't?
No.
That's a big shocker to me.
Yeah, because I have big blue eyes, blonde hair.
Because you have blonde hair, you have the like face that, you know, they put in comics books.
Yeah.
They're whatever the books they have, mm-hmm. comic books, right?
Yeah, comic books.
They put like this like round faces, yeah. big eyes. Like,
yeah.
Wow, why? What agency were you?
Switch models? They're like smaller agency, but I remember I did a couple jobs, like some wedding stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like 16. I'm doing wedding stuff. So interesting. Like I was a bride. I remember we went to that mountain, Fuji Mountain, I think outside
of. Incredible.
It was so beautiful. I love Japan. I had like the best time. I was there only 3 weeks, but it was
just
incredible.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't eat sushi at that time because I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
and
it was weird.
It was weird at first, right?
When did you eat like a lot of soba noodles?
No. I ate, you know, those triangle like rice things with like something
inside.
What are
they called? They called something.
So I'd always get like tuna or chicken triangle.
Tuna triangle, I know. I gained so much weight when I was there eating this.
Really?
Right. Yeah, so much. Oh my God.
You know, I gained so much weight when I was in New York because... Again, we would always survive through with pocket money, and I had sometimes no money, and I would be like, okay, what am I gonna eat? So I only had enough maybe for pizza slice or pasta and cheese. Pasta and cheese can last for like a week, easy. So I would just like eat that, and then agency's like, well, Ginta, like, what's happening? And I'm like, well, I have no money. You know, it's like very tough times at first, you know?
Yes. Point was tough.
And modeling house too. It's like you live with a bunch of girls in the same house. But I was lucky with the first one because we were a bunch of Latvian girls.
That's nice. So they put girls with girls together. It's nice.
So it was nice. And they're a little bit older than me. And so I wouldn't say more responsible because we all had a lot of fun, you know.
Right.
But definitely it was nice to have that shoulder, you know,
mm-hmm.
knowing that even though you're by yourself, you're not really by yourself.
Did you guys go to castings together and stuff or not really?
Yeah, but they were dark hair, so a lot of castings,
it was different.
We had different clientele. They had more like that edgy, darker look. And
did you have a lot of castings like with Sasha? Because you guys really look alike.
You know, I almost feel like Sasha did... I already looked up to Sasha, you know.
She already was like, doing well.
I think so. I can't remember. But I remember like her. I was like, oh my God, she's so amazing. But I don't know if that was like early days or a little bit later.
Okay.
But I definitely knew of her. Yeah. But it's kind of fun when you start modeling and then the girls you look up to, then you eventually become friends, you know? And you're like, oh my God, she's actually more amazing in real life than...
Right.
And it's so cool.
When I met Sasha first, I was doing my first Versace show.
Mm-hmm.
And I closed the show. And Sasha was standing there and I'm like touching my nipples. And she's like, you know how Sasha, she's really like weird in her mm-hmm. own lane, like really artsy. And she's like, why are you touching your nipples? And she's already a huge model, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. When I walk on the runway, I'm wearing bikinis. I want my nipples to like show. And she's like, okay, weird. And she's like, do you want me to touch it? Maybe that will like help you.
Oh my God.
I'm like, okay. It's like, I don't know. Sorry. It's like so out of content, but like, it was funny. That's how me and Sasha met.
At the shows.
Yeah.
So fun. Shows, yeah. We'll get into the shows. Yeah. We have so many stories about shows.
Oh
like
my God.
That's, I think, where we met most of the girls, you know?
Oh, for sure. That's where we all met.
Yeah.
Hang out.
For sure. Because we're always together from mm-hmm. city to city and traveling. That's like fun times, for sure. But yeah, speaking of, so those couple years when I was still like traveling, bouncing a little bit, but I always had New York in my mind. I was like, that's the place where I want. That's like end goal. And Paris, my first experience was really bad. I didn't like Paris. It was so cold, so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's so hard to even like manage. And it was so many girls. Because New York, it was harder for a lot of girls to get there because of papers.
To get visa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Paris and Milan are the places where they would usually send all the girls, you
and
know,
Europeans from Europe. Can go there without a visa and like everything.
Yeah. So it was, I found it very, very difficult city to even be seen because there was just so much, you know.
Yeah.
And London too. I had some like fun times in London. I think it's a great city. And over time, Paris actually became one of my favorite cities. I love Paris, but it took me a while because it's a hard city to survive.
What about Milan? Milan's cute.
Milan's cute. I love people in Milan. Oh my God, life's so easy. Let's go for lunch. Let's have a glass of wine. You know, it's just like very like free spirit. Always a siesta, right? Yes. Yeah, oh yeah, when you finally can have a lunch and you go and every restaurant's closed because everyone's on siesta. That was like, it's just so funny. I love it though. No, Milan's great. I haven't been there in a minute. Have you?
Like really long time ago. I would only go there for shows. Mm-hmm. Or like Giampaolo Sgura, like this famous photographer. Yeah. He lives there, he's Italian. I think I went to shoot with him a few times, but that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, totally. I did shoot with him as well there on Lake Como once. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like how I started, you know, and New York, I kind of always knew it's my end goal. That's where I want to be. I just really fell in love with the city. And I don't know, was it because it was the first place I ever went to and everyone was just so warm and welcoming? But I like the drive. I like how people work, how organized it is, and like you feel good.
How professional modeling felt like a real job.
Yes.
Versus like in Europe or like Japan, it kind of felt like a job, but like not really. But like in other places, it almost doesn't feel like a real job. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you get to New York, they like open a bank account for you and they like, want to make sure that you
get social security number.
Right. They want to make sure you're doing good. They want to make sure you're looking great. You know, it was like, whereas like in Milan or Paris or London, I feel like they throw you like a cockroach and see who survives.
Kind of. Yeah. Yes.
It was like, here you are. Yeah. Deal with
it. And speaking of being organized, like in New York, I remember I start shooting for this catalog called Delius, Delius. And I don't know if they still exist. I don't think so.
There's no catalogs anymore.
But it was amazing. They loved me there and I loved them. Like cute clothes, kind of like for age appropriate because it was like a younger girl. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was always late because I had no money for subway. So I would walk from like East Village to like Milk Studios and I would always be late. Sometimes I was like 45 minutes late. And I remember that one time the guy, producer, he's like, Ginta, listen, you know, we love you, but like you can't be this late. Like this is not professional. And he gave me such a like hard lesson. And after that, I was always on time.
Never
it was
late.
Like a really wake up call. But you know, you're still a kid. So you like learn these things.
I feel like in New York, you can't be late.
You can't.
No. It's like I live in Florida and Miami right now. Mm-hmm. And if we go somewhere or like a business meeting or a dinner with friends or whatever it is, everyone is an hour late.
It's same in LA.
In LA too, right?
In LA too. I mean, maybe not hour, but I notice and people always hear like blame it on traffic.
Right.
And I'm like, is it really traffic? Or it's like.
But in New York, no one ever late. Everyone is on
Everyone's
time.
Always on time. Like, and I love that. And I think it just like trained me very well.
It's just a respect of your time and respect of like other people's time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And so, you know, and I think at the beginning of modeling in New York for me was hard because I was not confident enough.
You were always very, very, very quiet.
Really? That's how you remember me?
Yes.
Very, very quiet?
So because we're never kind of. We never were friends until maybe 4 years ago when I got pregnant with Anna Sophia and we both ended up in LA. But I remember you always like really quiet with your purse. Like, I don't know, you always had like a great purse or something with you and you were always like kind of very reserved.
So interesting.
Yeah.
But you know, I always, sometimes I would think about it and I think because I had so much respect for that industry. Because I look up to those people, how hard they work, and just like working with Marc Jacobs, being being there and doing looks with him and seeing in his creative moments. And it's like, I would just always, I'm that kind of person, I guess I always absorb everything right. so much. And like, I need time to like process in a mm-hmm. sense, you know, that I would be just so thankful and grateful to even be there to that I would there, just like yeah. be quiet a lot of times, right. you know.
You'll be like, yeah.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. That's, you know, and I think confidence came over time, but at first I was definitely lacking it. And speaking of the smaller agency, I realized eventually that I need bigger agency. Mm-hmm. I need more help if I want to be, you know,
doing better.
Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to
the agency who wanted you before.
Okay. And he was like, Ginta, you're calling me? I'm like,
how many
yes.
years after was it?
That was like 2 years after. So like first
pretty
2 years,
soon.
Pretty soon. So first 2 years I was with smaller agency.
Okay.
I did like a bunch of catalogs and like I did some Teen Vogue and things mm-hmm. like that. And I used to work a lot for Pink, for Victoria's Secret. But then I think what really helped me and what was like the real start was when I switched to Woman.
That was really brave of you as
yeah,
like a young girl coming for with someone who like gave you the papers and, you know, brought you to US.
Yeah.
US.
It's true, actually. Yeah.
Knowing what you want and you want to do better, it's a big deal.
It's true. There was definitely yeah. some drama.
Right. No, that's what I mean. There, mm-hmm. there was contracts and there was...
Visa.
You know, visa. And they were probably putting, like, hope into you as you, mm-hmm. you know. I mm-hmm. remember, like, how it was for me when I switched agency, too. It was, whew, it was, like, worse than breakup with a boyfriend.
Yeah, it's very traumatic, dramatic, because mm-hmm. it's a lot of, like, communication with people.
Right.
So you get really attached. So, mm-hmm. like, if something that happens, you take it very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but it was definitely my best move in my career to go to Woman.
So when you went to Woman, is that when you kind of started to become like more famous and like doing better things?
So that's when I started having the kickoff because okay. they were very smart about, I kind of started with Fashion Week. I think I changed for them in like August or something like that. And then Fashion Week was September. And then I started doing shows. And the first big thing that actually with a lot of help from them, I got Proenza Schuller exclusive.
Yeah. That was a big deal.
Very, very big deal. If you do exclusives, so what that means, it's you do looks for them. You can't do any other show. You basically represent them for that season,
right.
which is awesome. It's a big honor. And so with that in my pocket, I went to Europe after and started doing other big shows. You know, it was Dolce & Gabbana, Prada, Miu Miu. So just like start... balling like a snowball.
Which we're gonna talk about in our next episode. Talking of which, thank you for tuning in, everyone. That was Ginta's story. Thank you for sharing. And we're gonna continue next week.
Yes, thank you so much, Marina, for asking all these questions and like sharing your story as well. And thank you guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.